Let us pray. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come. Lord, we pray tonight as we study together that we are saints in the body of Christ. Lord Jesus, that we continue to trust in your word as we live in this sin-cursed evil world, and that we know that your grace is sufficient. Lord, we thank you for the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And Lord, we thank you for those words. It is finished. Lord, the complete plan of salvation, and that is that if we believe that Jesus died, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scripture, that's the good news that we must believe in order to be saved. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for a platform to share the word of truth, right divided. And we pray now, as we study together, that we come away from our study tonight, that we are edified and that we're encouraged, that we're enlightened. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to go ahead and get going tonight, my brothers and sisters. Like I said, I just mentioned the gospel and the importance of it. That's the most important thing, my brothers and sisters. When Christ said it is finished, and 3 days later God raised him from the grave. So that's important, my brothers and sisters, and the gospel that I just mentioned. Now, tonight, we must do more than just pray. My brothers and sisters, I know we often hear, let's keep each other lifted up in prayer, and that is what God would have us to do, what the word of God tells us to do. But we must also walk circumspectly and redeem the time, my brothers and sisters. We must also walk circumspectly and redeem the time. Ephesians 5:15-16. This is the foundation where we're going to come from our message tonight. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, Paul said. And then I want us to take note also of another scripture. That's Colossians 4:5. If you go back and listen to this message, you'll get these scriptures and write them down if you're listening. Colossians 4:5, Paul said, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Now, Paul tells us next in Ephesians 5:15 how to walk. He says circumspectly, wisely, and carefully. In other words, bringing glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus' name. Our walk, our conduct, our behaviors, we walk circumspectly according to Ephesians 5:15 by walking not as fools, but as wise. A fool is one who is primarily governed by his or her feelings. Why do they do what they do? Well, because they felt like it. Fools cannot give reasons for why they behave as they do. Even in church services, we see this. Why do some people attend certain church services? Well, because it makes them feel good. They want happiness and enjoyment. They want to have a good time, as they call it, to get excited, to work themselves up by singing hymns and songs and choruses, and to keep on repeating and repeating until they are in a state of mental intoxication. They do not want to be made to think. Life is hard enough as it is, they say, without having to struggle with this thought and that. So let us have more singing and less preaching, and so on. I think sometimes people confuse intellect and wisdom. They think that since they are not very smart or don't have a high IQ, they are not very wise. But wisdom and intellect are not really connected. For sure, someone who is smart can be wise, but someone can also be wise who is not very smart. And I have found that quite frequently, an accumulation of knowledge can sometimes get in the way of wisdom. Sometimes we misuse the knowledge we have when we don't use it the way God instructs us to. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puff up, but charity, in other words, love, edified. Have you ever seen a blowfish? It's a little fish until it is threatened. When it is threatened, it puffs itself up into a big ball. It is a pitch of arrogance and aloofness. There are many Christians in the body of Christ today who understand the Apostle Paul to be saying that too much Bible knowledge puffs a person up like that. they find here a mandate to avoid heaven doctrine. In other words, staying babes in Christ on the milk of the word instead of growing and maturing and moving on to the meat of the word. That is not, we're going to get to understand, this is not what Paul is saying when he said knowledge puffs up. Such teaching as getting into the meat of the word, many suggest produce unloving and arrogant Christians. I seriously doubt this is precisely what Paul had in mind when he penned these words we just read about knowledge puffed up. Now, if you read all Paul's letters, even a casual reading would show that he emphasized knowledge. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. You see that? And in judgment, discernment. Likewise, you got Colossians 1:10, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every work, and increasing in what? The knowledge of God. Paul instructed Timothy repeatedly to carefully instruct the flock in sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Then you can read 1 Timothy 1:4-16. He said, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. And then read 2 Timothy 1:13, where he tell you to hold fast. Then you got 2 Timothy 2:15, where he tell you to study, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then you got 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, my brothers and sisters, and you have 2 Timothy 4:2, where Paul is telling Timothy to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So he's not telling us not to get knowledge. I think some folks look at that, that there's something wrong with getting knowledge. Paul also clearly predicted what some Christians one day would turn away from sound doctrine. That's in 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Read that. So what then did Paul mean by the expression knowledge puffs up, but charity loves, edifies? Let's first consider his basic meaning and then how Paul specifically applied it in 1 Corinthians 8. The general meaning of expression is that knowledge divorced from love produces arrogance and injure others. But knowledge wedded to love edifies. Do you see that? Paul later in the book of 1 Corinthians repeated the same thought when he wrote, and if I have all knowledge but have not love, it profited me nothing. So on the one hand, being well grounded in the word of God does not guarantee that one would be loving. We can see that many times in the body of Christ. Have all kind of knowledge. That don't mean that saints, those who have all this knowledge, are going to be loving. Either. Now, after a person, that's what Paul says. On the one hand, being well grounded in the word of God does not guarantee that one will be loving. A lot of folks think that that's the case. After all, a person can do what he knows to be wrong. On the other hand, being ignorant of biblical truths does not guarantee that one would be loving either. In fact, ignorance of biblical truth normally results in unloving behavior. To be edified, knowledge must be united with love. In order to actually witness, our knowledge must be wedded to love. Such a union results in loving witnessing for Christ as a normal part of one's life. Now, when Paul calls us not to be fools, but to be wise, his call is not really for us to get more knowledge, but simply to use the knowledge we have. But how do you get more knowledge? 2 Timothy 2:15, while you study. So gaining knowledge is not wrong. In fact, it is something we should strive for, but it is useless if we don't apply it. So a lot of folks might get it, but if you don't apply it, it's useless. Those who are wise use whatever knowledge they have. Do you want to know what makes someone wise? Do you want to know, my brothers and sisters? A wise man is a man who always thinks. He does not not act merely on the basis of instinct or impulse or desire. No, he is a man who insists upon thought and reason and meditation. When confronted with a problem, they don't make snap judgments, but they look at every aspect of the situation. They hear all sides of the story. They think about it. They pray about it. He examines all the evidence from all angles. He listens, and then he listens some more. He gathers data, and then when he has done all the learning and gathering that he can, and after he has consulted the principles found in Scripture, rightly divided, he makes a decision, and he lives by it. When a wise man speaks, you know that it is a result of careful thought, and that all would be well to listen to that person. That is wisdom. That is the crucial element to walking circumspectly, carefully in this world. But maybe all this thinking doesn't appeal to you. Sounds like too much work, you say. Well, there's the next reason for it. Next in Ephesians 5:16, as we study tonight, Paul wants to tell us why we should walk circumspectly. How do we walk circumspectly? By being wise. Why do we walk carefully? Because Paul tells us right now in the Scriptures. Why do we walk carefully? Because the days are evil. We must carefully discipline ourselves in how we walk in this world. Else we will conform more to his ways than to the ways of Christ. And we also can become a stumbling block to others also. The Apostle Paul is describing how to walk as simply a figure, a symbol for how to live. This passage begins in chapter Ephesians 4, verse 17, with the apostle's admonition to live no longer as the Gentiles do. He then describes how that is and goes on to exhort rather than Christians live as they have been taught to live in Christ. That is to put off the old nature and put on the new. That simple process of putting off and putting on is what the apostle means by walking. Everyone knows that a walk consists of two steps repeated over and over again. You never take more than two steps in walking, one leg forward, then the other leg. But do that again and again, and you are walking. He begins with one statement that says it all. Look carefully then how you walk. Paul tells us that walking wisely allows us to redeem the time in whom we have redemption, Ephesians 1:7, and we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. The believer in Christ has liberty, purchased liberty through Christ's shed blood. First, we were bought with a price and redeemed to God. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. Further, we were redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. And now, best of all, we have been set gloriously free, Ephesians 1:7, Galatians 5:1. Redeem is a marketplace term. When you redeem someone from slavery, as Christ redeemed us, you are purchasing them out of their slavery. You are paying the price to take them out of a bad situation. Redeem, purchase out of the slave market of sin and law, and set gloriously free. But in these verses we will discuss from Ephesians and Colossians, the Apostle Paul is cautioning us to use time wisely, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So what is Paul talking about in this context? He's saying redeeming the time because the days are evil. Why the word redeem? Why not the word utilize or seize or work when referring to redeem? Why this imagery of purchasing from slavery? I believe the answer to this is found in the very next phrase from Paul. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Look at the important word because in this passage. Yes, we are to redeem the time, but we do so because the days are evil. What he is saying here essentially is that the evil days create opportunities, and therefore understanding this, we must make the most of those opportunities which are created by evil days. By the days are evil, Paul may have specifically had in mind the corrupt living that characterized the city of Ephesus. Now the Christian there was surrounded by paganism and infiltrated by heresy. even without the kind of persecution of opposition known by the Christians of Paul's day, the world we live in is not conducive to using time wisely, especially for purposes of spirituality and godliness. In fact, our days are days of active evil. My brothers and sisters, you read Ephesians 4:19-13, Ephesians 5-8. And remember the context. Paul had briefly mentioned in Ephesians 5:1-4 some of the unloving and dark things that the world is involved in. Greediness, dishonesty, what he talked about in Ephesians. Paul said in Ephesians 14 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning crafted, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Greediness, dishonesty, and immorality were a way of life in Ephesus, a way in which most of the believers had themselves once been involved and to which they were tempted to revert. My brothers and sisters, like I said, read Ephesians 4:19-32, Ephesians 5:3-8. Remember the context. Now, Paul has briefly mentioned Ephesians 5:1-14, some of the unloving and dark things the world is involved in. If we are not careful with how we spend our time, we will get swept up and carried away with this evil. If you do not watch what you spend your time doing, you will soon be doing what is evil. Making the most, redeeming the time, it means to buy up. It is a word, my brothers and sisters, from the marketplace. You go down to your supermarket and look for bargains because you know they will not last long. They are passing, changing. Therefore, make the most of them and buy them up. This is exactly the word he employs here. Buy up the opportunities which are created constantly by the evil days. And I guarantee you, there's plenty of opportunities going to be created by evil days in this old world. What a far cry that is from the outlook many Christians have towards evil days. Most of us look at evil days as obstacles, as defeating circumstances, as pressures which tend to make us unable to be Christians. We cannot blame what others do to us as an excuse for not being what we ought to be. This is exactly what the apostle is saying here. We are not to be unwise, but wise, making the most of the opportunity because the situation around us, which seems against us, it seems like it's against us really making the opportunity possible. If you were not under pressure, how could you manifest the overcoming grace of God? If you did not go through trials, how could you ever show that he is sufficient for every trial? The fact that the days are evil, Paul says, should lead us to redeeming the time. When Paul looked around at the world, he saw that he was living like we are today in evil times. We are living in the last days of the dispensation of grace, a time when building holiness, righteousness, character is becoming ever more difficult. When we see people fighting in favor of abortion and is in favor of gay marriages and against Christian values in this world, it's easy to say they are our enemies. But Paul has already said, we don't fight against flesh and blood, my brothers and sisters. Your focus is in the wrong place, Ephesians 6:12. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Paul wasn't leading a revolution against the wicked emperor Nero, who burned Rome and then blamed it on the Christians. Nero instigated a persecution of Christians across the empire that led to believers being burned alive and thrown to the lions. He eventually had Paul himself beheaded. Our real enemy is invisible. Nero was not the enemy. As wicked as he was, Nero was just a tool of the real enemy, Satan, and the forces of wickedness in the spiritual realm. Many paths of wrongdoing and wrong thinking can cause us to lose focus on God's way of life. Evil can consume us. Many Christians do not meditate on the temporary state of human existence or that our days are numbered. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause? We faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Satan has deceived many to believe we will continue on with unlimited physical days. This mindset permeates the world we live in. Paul is saying stop procrastinating. One way to make an important job more difficult is to keep putting it off. Human nature loves to procrastinate, to put off overcoming, facing difficult decisions, changing poor study habits, praying for others, putting God's work first in our lives. Procrastination hinders us from spiritual growth. We all face the pull of procrastination that can rob us of the time God has given us to overcome. Spiritual blindness has led many into hurtful pursuits and paths. These include materialistic idolatry, the pursuit of physical wealth, status, worldliness, and position. In this end time state of blindness, God's people have drunkenly stumbled along, tripping over various forms of mind-wasting entertainment and selfish competitive pursuits. In our own affluent society, we find so many who are experiencing an inward emptiness. These are the evil days, not only because of the widespread fears and tension and violence, but also because of the materialism that creates such hollowness and emptiness within us. But what is the result? It is the evil days that make people want to know the truth about God. It is the evil days that give us opportunity to demonstrate the Christian life. Therefore, buy up the opportunities. Understand as you look at life that this life is the way life is. That this is the way life is. These difficulties do not come in order to set us back. They come in order to advance us, make us bolder for Christ. Therefore, look at them that way. Do not regard them as some strange, unusual circumstances that we alone are called to go through while everyone else has it easy and has a delightful time. We must not view an unfair government and its cohorts and its actions as ultimate enemies, as the ultimate enemy we face. Our ultimate enemy is invisible. He cannot be seen or felt or touched. His armies move in the spiritual realm. So pervasive is the evil these days, my brothers and sisters. I spend a lot of time. Let me say this. Because the days of evil, our sin nature is the default on and decision maker concerning these precious windows of time. We have to be a light in this dark world. We must exert effort not to be busier and check more off our list, but to truly be productive in God's eyes. It takes effort. It takes thought. It takes discipline and diligence. It takes learning. It takes prayer. It takes wisdom. It takes growing. You want to be wise, don't you? Get into the scriptures and let God teach you what he wants you to know. My brothers and sisters, I spend a lot of time using my computer. When editing and documents in a Word processor, you have the option of redo and undo. Undo, undoes your mistake, while redo reverses the undo command. If only life had undo and redo features, you could reverse the mistakes of your past, or you could do it all over again differently if you wanted to. But as we all know, life does not work that way. We have the present and the future. The past is just what that is, past. We have one option, and that is to redeem the time we have today and whatever time we have left in the future. Reaching others with the gospel of the grace of God while we are here has eternal importance. Are you buying up the time? My brothers and sisters, when a Christian has done something unethical or revolting, that it discredits the testimony of Jesus Christ in front of unbelievers or other Christians who are watching, that Christian has a responsibility to do what is necessary to redeem the time and consequently regain his testimony. It is absolutely vital that he make things right with those individuals. It may be necessary for that Christian to swallow his pride, admit he did something wrong, and apologize so that he can restore his testimony. If you are the one who has done something wrong and have thereby marred your testimony, it's not too late for you to turn your testimony around. Thank God the Apostle Paul told us that we can walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Colossians 4 and 5. The truth is, we've all lost opportunities along the way in life for various reasons. Some of it was due to our own poor choices. Some of it was due to hardships or difficulties in life that prevented us from doing what we wanted to do. But regardless of the reason, Paul told us that if we're willing to go the distance to do whatever it is necessary to redeem the time, we can turn things around and end up with a lot of brand new, wonderful opportunities. We all at one time or another have damaged our testimonies in front of non-Christians and Christians, losing influence as a result of a lack of integrity or bad behavior will hinder our ability to represent Christ to the people around us. However, with God's grace, even this can be changed and turned around. If we are willing to do whatever it is necessary to achieve it, he would help us in redeeming the precious time we have and recover from our damaged testimony. For us to redeem the time and recover our testimony, God required that we apologize to those we have wronged, admit we were wrong, or perhaps make corrections in area of our lives by the word of God. In life, so many of us know we have wronged others, but we have too much pride to say I'm sorry. God's word says in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Time is precious, and it is a fact that we cannot turn the clock back. Time, once you spend it, is gone. But if we are willing to repent, have that change of mind, and put forth the effort to correct our mistakes through the word of God, God's grace will enable us to do his will and make the most of every opportunity or testimony that we previously lost. The Holy Spirit can and will help us redeem the time. Do not fear that you are only being called to go through difficult and unusual circumstances and live and deal with difficult people who can make life very challenging at times. We must remember who is orchestrating the chaos and the problems in this present evil world. It's Satan and his cohorts. It all belongs to Satan and his policy of evil. We could never demonstrate what it is to be a Christian if it were not for the evil days. Therefore, understand this. Do not be foolish. Do not strike back and complain and gripe because of problems. That's why God's grace is sufficient. And we must never forget, as we get ready to close tonight, this one thing that the world is watching. They see our walk. They hear our talk. They notice what we say and what we do. We must live our lives wisely and prudently, especially for the sake of the non-Christians who are observing what we say and how we act. Time is sacred and precious. It's a precious commodity that we must use carefully and not waste. Like I said, if you have damaged your witness, now is the time to let the Holy Spirit help you turn your testimony around so you can represent Jesus with honor before the unbelievers and those who Christians and those saints in the body of Christ who are watching us. Paul encouraged us in Ephesians 6:18-9. Paul encouraged the believers in Ephesus to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, the utterance may give unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. My brothers and sisters, remember, time is something that is true Christian living in the last days of the body of Christ in this evil world we should be acutely aware of. But if we're not careful, many seconds, minutes, and hours will slip by unproductively. This is dangerous, my brothers and sisters. So let us remember, and we're going to pick up the rest of this next week. Paul wrote in Colossians 4:2-4, continue in prayer, watch and sing with thanksgiving with all praying. Also for us, that God would open up unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond, that I may make it manifest that I ought to speak. Time is something that true Christians living in the last days in the body of Christ, we should definitely be acutely aware of. And Paul admonished us to redeem the time in our lives, and he tells us why. because the days are evil, meaning that humans in general are under the rule and deception of Satan, the devil. And we're going to pick up next week and finish this one off, my brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Father, here we thank you for this opportunity tonight to study your word. And we pray as saints in the body of Christ, that as we study together, that we were encouraged and that we were enlightened and that we came away from this word tonight edified. Lord, let us not just hear these words, but let us walk in them. Let us apply them. And let us take them in our inner man, Lord Jesus, and meditate on them. Study it. And Lord, let us pray. We pray for that boldness to want to stand because the days are evil. You have given us the ministry of reconciliation, Lord Jesus. We pray that as saints in the body of Christ, that we should know that we are the light in this dark world. And we are the ones that got to go out with the gospel of the grace of God. We are the lights in this dark world. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.